think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. To London, to Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He writes political economics. And right now we're going to turn our attention to the British form of government, parliamentary, versus the American form of government, which has been called presidentialism. However, there are compares and contrasts, and one compare has to do with the choice of PM, either party, either major party in London, and what we just saw is the choice of one party for a leader without need of asking the members of the party to vote, a selection process. Joe, a very good evening to you. We begin with the UK form of government, parliamentary, because your most recent column highlights the fact that the Tories, the Conservatives, have managed to tear through several prime ministers without asking anybody to vote. And they've wound up now sent to the corner of the Commons with badly small numbers and are licking their wounds. What did they do wrong, and what lessons can we learn? Good evening to you, Joe.
Hey, John. I mean, the basic observation here is that what the Democrats did in the U.S., cashiering Joe Biden and bringing in Kamala Harris, is pretty much unprecedented in American politics. It's not unprecedented in Europe. This phenomenon is, especially in European parliamentary or prime ministerial systems, this phenomenon that you can have a group of the elites of the party kind of coming together and pushing out a duly elected leader in favor of some other leader of the party who then also becomes the prime minister of the country. And, you know, we've seen this time and time again. Angela Merkel in Germany tried to handpick her successor and do these very opaque sort of leadership processes, and it ended up failing miserably. But I think that probably the most telling example of the problems that you run into here are, as you mentioned, Britain's Conservative Party, where for the past 8 years, they burned through five prime ministers, generally chosen in the situation where the person would be deposed for reasons to do with politics within the party. And then the party would try to handpick a successor without going to the voters or consulting ordinary voters as little as possible. And it just created all kinds of instability. You ended up with a long line of prime ministers who didn't really have the demonstrated political ability or the popularity that they needed in order to be able to run the party or the country successfully. And so I think this should be a note of caution for Democrats who have just attempted something similar in the U.S., because have they gotten it right? Are the qualities or the skills that will make a candidate appealing to party elders or elites exactly the kind of attributes or skills that person needs to be successful appealing to ordinary voters in a general election? Certainly in Britain, the experience has been not often.
Let me recover the chronology here from the distance, see if I understand your presentation. David Cameron was prime minister, chosen as leader for the 2005 election, very successful, continuing as leader for the 2010 election. UK requires a vote every 5 years at least, although the prime minister has a opportunity to call a snap election in between. Elected in 2010, again, the people voted for the party knowing he was leader. And then we came to the Brexit vote in 15, and David Cameron made a remark that seemed unnecessary, that he was for it and he'd resign if it didn't win. It didn't win. He resigned. Between 15 and the vote in 19 for Boris Johnson, there was no vote. And so Theresa May, she ascended to the PM of the party without asking the party to vote for her. Is all that correct, Joe?
Pretty much. I mean, what had happened, David Cameron is really the last time that the Conservatives managed to run an entirely successful leadership campaign. And so the procedure was that first off, it would have to be a member of parliament, from the party, and other members of parliament would have to narrow down the field to the final two. And then those final two would get voted on by the grassroots membership in a form of primary process. And this had worked pretty well in 2005. At that time, Tony Blair was still the Labour prime minister. The Tories were in opposition, so they had leisure to run one of these elections and pick the candidate they wanted to follow into the next election. And they followed him successfully in 2010. And actually, the series of elections here was that there was another parliamentary election in 2015, where again, Cameron led the party to a pretty big success. And it was really only once you got into the Brexit referendum in 2016 that things ran south for him. And he ended up resigning after Brexit had won, even though he had campaigned for Britain to remain within the EU. And after that, I'm not sure the party ever fully recovered from that experience. Theresa May dropped into the race mainly by default because the party couldn't find any other consensus choice. She was not very successful with voters when she went to an election in 2017. Remember, that was the year that they won a plurality but not an outright majority, and so they had to do this weird alliance with the Northern Irish Unionist Party, and it was very complicated and messy and really hobbled Brexit. And that was really the first sign of trouble, and it had happened because the party had tried to short-circuit any kind of democratic process that would have sent them signals about which of the potential party leaders really was capable of firing up the leadership and might have some chance of appealing to a general electorate.
And then they did it all over again. In 2019, Boris Johnson comes forward to replace Theresa May. He goes to the people and is soundly elected. And yet he runs into trouble almost immediately to the pandemic. And then they tried the switching game again without asking the people. First there was Liz Truss, and then there was Rishi Sunak. Now, we're reciting all this, and Joe corrected my dates. It's very difficult to keep up with the Tories. They change their minds a lot. However, we mean to come to the U.S. and lessons learned here. To my knowledge, Joe, the very successful Californian politician, Ms. Harris, has never faced a 50-50 electorate. California is a one-party state, and her rise from district attorney of San Francisco to attorney general of the state to senator of the state was with the blessing of the party that was always going to win. The primary was the vote. And when the senator chose to run for president, she dropped out before there was a vote cast. So now the party is choosing someone who's never been to the American people. Does the party think that's risky, Joe? Did you see anybody hesitate in their celebration of the last days?
Well, I think the problem is the Democrats are really stuck at this point. I'm sure that in their quieter introspective moments, a lot of the party leadership understand that this is a potential problem. Because remember, the primary election system is one of the great strengths of America's form of representative democracy, because it gives you an opportunity to vet candidates and test messages before you get into the general election. And so one of the opportunities it gives you is an opportunity to learn things about the candidates. For all of this talk about negative campaigning during primary season, that gives parties to an opportunity to test whether a potential presidential standard bearer has serious weaknesses or vulnerabilities that the other party will be able to exploit once you get to the general election. And I would assume that there is a certain amount of unease about the fact that Kamala Harris has not been through that process this year and was not successful the last time she went through that process or tried to in 2020. I mean, the fact that she dropped out of the 2020 race before a single primary vote had been cast, because her campaign was bedeviled by various problems, and it turned out that she wasn't catching fire with the voters. I mean, that should be a warning. And Democrats interpreted that as a warning 4 years ago, which is why she didn't become the nominee. So I think that they are taking a big risk here. And again, this has been a risk that you encounter all the time in Europe. You know, this showed up with the German example when Angela Merkel knew that her tenure was going to be coming to an end. She tried to pick a politician with the unwieldy name of Annegret Kramp-Karrenbauer to replace her. And it turned out that this politician who goes by the acronym AKK, was not a very good retail politician, had a lot of vulnerabilities that meant that she couldn't be a viable party leader. And so I think the Democrats have made that same mistake where you allow the incumbent to essentially handpick a successor, and then you're at the mercy of whatever due diligence your incumbent has or has not done.
Have one of these prime ministers seen this weakness and attempted to reverse it? Have we learned anything from the Tories about it, Joe?
No, I mean, certainly the tendency actually in the UK has been to democratize the process a bit more precisely for this reason. They didn't used to have this procedure where the party membership out in the countryside would get a vote on the last two candidates. That's really an innovation that came in at around the time that David Cameron was becoming the party leader. And now both of the major parties in Britain, the Conservatives and Labour, have adopted this method, precisely because they understand that there is a virtue to testing candidates in some form in an electoral setting. And with a prime ministerial system, you can't really do primaries the way that the U.S. does. But they recognize that they need some option of testing candidates in front of real voters. And while Britain is doing that, the Democratic Party in the U.S. seems to be moving in the backward direction.
So Keir Starmer, the prime minister, he was chosen to replace Jeremy Corbyn in just this fashion, correct, Joe? Jeremy Corbyn lost a very rough election in 2019 to Boris Johnson, and they brought Keir Starmer in. So normally, and he's been successful in going to the people. He didn't have to go to the people before this, did he?
Correct. And again, that is sort of the normal trajectory that you would expect in something that would be most familiar to us in the U.S., which is that if a party in Britain loses an election, the expectation is that the leader will resign from their leadership position and the party will pick a new standard bearer who will lead them in opposition and carry them through to the next election, which is the process that the Conservatives are going to go through now after they lost the election earlier this month. But you know, Keir Starmer was a result of that process, and Jeremy Corbyn before him also had been a result of that process. So the issue here is not a party deciding that it wants to change its leader. That can actually be very healthy. The question is always how you go about doing that. And I think the record of success is not very good in instances where European parties try to work it out in a smoke-filled back room without bothering to ask the voters, which is more or less what the Democrats have just done.
Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He writes political economics. He's based in London. When we come back, Heat Wave. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it, your neighbors know it, heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com, and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.